Hello, and welcome to Too Scared to Sleep.
It's going
to
get real old, real fast, if every time we start you do that stupid bullshit game show host voice.
All right, fine, I'll cut this all out.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? My name's Dylan.
I know. They call me D-Dog. I don't know, some name like that.
Jesus.
All you biker guys have nicknames. How is it that you don't have a nickname?
Oh, I do. Well, I did.
What was it?
We're not going to talk about this.
Go ahead, and we'll just edit it out. Or you know what? We'll bleep it out. That'll be more fun.
That's funny. Okay, yeah. No, so my, they call it road name.
Your road name?
Yeah, well, because I was a junior member
for a really long time. Go ahead.
My road name was...
I can't wait for us to bleep that out.
That's going to be really funny, right?
Oh my Jesus Christ, that's the worst road name I've ever heard.
Are you kidding me? It's so good. Shut up.
If you say so.
It's so good.
Okay.
You dumb bastard.
What was it again? That's so much fun. We should have some sort of giveaway, and they can find out your road name.
Like, subscribe to our $100 Patreon and our Patreon tier at $100, and after 6 months, then you get to know.
That could be it.
That's it. That's the prize. Anyway, if I can't say hello all enthusiastically, what do I say? What do you want me to say?
Hi, and welcome to another edition of episode of Too Scared to Sleep.
Right.
I'm your host, Dylan.
Hi, I should. I have to edit that shit out constantly.
You have to edit this shit out. At least I catch myself when I restart.
Usually, yeah. This is fun on the editing side.
Well, that's fine. I can just keep talking and you'll just have to edit it out.
All right, don't be an asshole.
Well, then don't you be an asshole.
All right, we'll see. Well, hello. My name is Dylan. And welcome to another episode of Too Scared to Sleep, your favorite paranormal and true crime podcast.
If you listen to us and you like it, suggest it to someone who doesn't listen. That would be great.
Yeah, the more you can get the word out about us, the more that'll help us. You know, more viewership is great. If we can send some good reviews our way, that'd be awesome. Because we're really passionate about this and we would love to keep doing it. So we'd like a bunch of people to know about it. That would be pretty nifty.
Dylan, how was your 4th of July weekend?
Boring. It was boring. I did nothing but work, and one of our friends, Camilla, came over because it was her 21st birthday. So we had a tiny party, but nobody really drank that much, actually. We just kind of watched some fireworks, and that was it. We really didn't do anything for 4th of July. We're not real big on that.
Mine was really low-key. My family wanted to have a barbecue, but I abstained because I don't want to get coronavirus.
That was smart. Someone, you know, smart boy.
Avoid crowds and stuff like that. It's just too dangerous.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
That poor bastard, Nick Cordero, who is a Broadway star.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Talk about the worst luck of anybody. He finally, poor guy, ended up succumbing to the virus and dying in the hospital after 91 days. He'd been in the intensive care unit.
That's ridiculous. It's just 3 months of struggling.
And he's got like a really young daughter and just, oh, it's such a, so depressing. But anyway, yeah, it's just, you know, you listen to stories like that and you think to yourself, do I really need to go to that family barbecue? Probably not.
No, you don't.
Not a good idea.
I don't even like going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But I gotta.
We've got to get you out of these retail bullshit jobs.
Yep.
We'll find some way.
I was actually just talking to my roommate's sister about doing, what was it? So San Antonio College has a funeral director and embalmer class that you can take.
Yes.
And I was looking into that, and my roommate's sister was helping me look into some of those things. Because those dudes, they make pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
They make real good money, actually. I looked it up and Indeed said that the average funeral director makes about $51,000 a year. Which is pretty good. And, you know, you don't have to deal with customers ever again. That would be cool. Well, you kind of do, I guess, if you have to deal with grieving people. But just on the embalming side.
The worst part. Oh, you should look into it. You definitely have to look for it. With your red and black nail polish and that crazy-ass hair.
Thanks, Hoss.
Oh, my God. You're already there. You're halfway there already.
Oh,
whatever. Halfway. You know what? I'm going to be a supportive dad. I'm going to support you no matter what.
Thanks, bud.
That's my job.
My roommates are also trying to convince me to be a tattoo artist, which, I mean, I wanted to do for a really long time. I could be into that.
Yeah, that would be good. I don't have the energy tonight. Come on, let's get this energy.
I know, your vibes have been off.
My vibe is a bit off. Vibe up. Let's see. Just watched Star Trek Beyond, which is not so great, but it's okay. They kind of lost their way on those sorts of movies.
I haven't watched any of the new Star Trek movies. But speaking of new and star and movie, I finally saw The Rise of Skywalker. I watched it last night because I hadn't seen it yet, even though I knew most of the spoilers for it. It was what I expected it to be. There were some good parts. That's about it. This isn't the movie podcast, so I'm not going to get into detail. This isn't the movie
podcast. We can talk about it next week.
Yeah. Well, I finally saw it. Had some nifty parts. I would say worth the watch because I got to watch it for free.
That's true. I saw it a couple of times in the movie theater, of course.
Yeah, that tracks.
It wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah. Hey, it was fun at parts.
It's Star Wars. You got to see it.
Yeah. I also watched Jarhead for the first time recently.
Oh, yeah?
Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Never seen that? You've never seen that one?
I hadn't seen that one. I keep forgetting that it exists, but it was really good. I was pleasantly surprised with it.
I've gotten so much faster at editing, which is good.
Excellent.
I'm getting better at it.
Once you get the hang of it, you can go pretty quickly, but it all just comes back to that tedious shit, man.
All the ums.
And the weird pauses and the, yeah.
Oh my god, we sound horrible.
Yeah. If people could listen to the raw files of what we say, it would just be terrible.
How many times I stutter and start over.
I know. I do it too, so I can't bitch at you too much, but it does happen a lot. Between the both of us, mm-hmm. Oof.
I start to mispronounce things. All right. Yeah, it just happens. What are you going to do? See, the problem is that we're seeing each other so much that we don't have as much to catch up on.
I know, because we're trying to just knock out all these episodes like as quick as we can, which is great in terms of being prepared for recording, though.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there's just not anything going on in life right now. It's because
we're isolated, quarantine, everything's shutting back down here in Texas.
Yeah, it's about fucking time.
Mm-hmm. They should have never opened it up, but whatever. We can go on and on about that.
Yeah. But there is some exciting news in what that. What is it? Jake is getting a tattoo tomorrow.
I know, I'm getting two tattoos tomorrow.
A long time.
July the 8th.
On July the 8th. That's exciting.
Because this episode won't... Yeah, it would be cool. This episode won't be released until August, so it'll be a month by then.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
I also set up a tattoo appointment today as well. But mine's not going to be till the end of this month, like the 24th.
That's not that far away, actually.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I'm getting more satanic and occult style tattoos on your body?
No, Dad, I'm not. God. This one's actually me and my friend Iris are getting matching tattoos.
What's it gonna say? What's it gonna be?
It's two irises and like a banner around it, and it says, "We die together or not at all," because it's fucking hardcore.
That's some major shit right over there, you and Iris.
Yep.
That's a strong bond.
Yeah.
You better not piss each other off.
No.
I hope not.
No, we're good. We're also going to get that Mothman tattoo that I have planned out. Mm-hmm. She wants to get that one, too.
Crazy.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. She's still going to school? Out of state?
She's still in state right now, but still attending that school, yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you can't be up there because of the coronavirus.
Yup.
Send her home. All right. Dylan, what's your topic?
My topic this time is going to be a little place down in Florida. This is the St. Augustine Lighthouse. Jake, are you familiar with this lighthouse?
No, but I think that all lighthouses are creepy.
All lighthouses are creepy.
And somehow they're all haunted.
They are all haunted. But the cool thing about this one is that people say it's the most haunted. Residing in St. Augustine, Florida, this still active lighthouse is widely regarded as the most haunted lighthouse in America. A number of different ghost hunters and groups between like YouTube channels and even like big TV series and shit have gone to the lighthouse, and almost every one of them has left with some sort of evidence of activity, even some of them capturing like a full-bodied apparition on camera. So it's got a really good track record for spooky shit, right? I mean, most people that go there end up seeing shit. There was like a Ghost Adventures and a BuzzFeed Unsolved and a couple like other YouTube channels and stuff. And so many people get to see shit, and it's really, really cool. So in the lighthouse, some of the most common occurrences are the giggling of children, I almost said fingers.
The fingering of adults?
No, no, don't you dare. Okay, so some of the most common occurrences here are the giggling of children,
I'm not down with that.
What?
I said I'm not down with that.
Oh, I know. You hate that. As all people should. Disembodied child laughter is gross. There's also figures walking or running up the up and down the stairs. Because obviously you see the lighthouse, it's basically just a tube up with stairs going all the way up. And there's a bunch of platforms where you can like stop and rest. There's also voices on the EVP or the spirit boxes. They get recorded pretty frequently. People have reported being touched. There are figures that watch the visitors from places like the top of the lighthouse, the windows, and different levels on the stairs. Even figures in the woods watching people that come in.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, it's real creepy, huh?
Okay, that's real creepy.
All right, so this lighthouse, one of the reasons why it's so haunted is because it has been around basically forever. The original lighthouse was created in 1586, but has been continually moved and or rebuilt over the centuries. The original lighthouse actually fell into the ocean and sank in 1880 due to the erosion of the coastline that it was on. However, in, I believe it was 1870, they started construction on a new one because they could see it coming.
Right.
So in 1874, that new lighthouse, which was built just, I think, like a couple hundred feet away, had actually been operational by that point, so the light never stopped shining from the lighthouse. And one of the cool things about the new lighthouse that they made, that one that finished in 1874, was that they found like a new lens system they used. The light in that lighthouse was actually able to be seen from up to 24 nautical miles away. Damn. Which is a really big distance. And a cool fun fact is that the lens used in 1874 during the original construction is the same one that's in the lighthouse today, and it's still operational.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's lasted from 1874 and still going strong. All right, so getting into the actual lighthouse, there's a couple different sections of this. You've got the main entrance, you've got the keeper's house basement, and then you've got the observation deck and the stairway leading up. Now, the most haunted place in the lighthouse is widely regarded to be the keeper's house basement, and this stems back from the first tragedy of the new lighthouse. So there was a man named Peter Rasmussen. He was one of the original lighthouse keepers who operated the lighthouse from the early 1900s. He did it for about 23 years. He had started at the old lighthouse and then switched over and became the first lighthouse keeper of the new one. But in the keeper's house basement, only a few years after the new lighthouse construction was completed, Peter Rasmussen hanged himself to death in that room.
Well, that'll do it.
That'll do it. He left no note. There was no indication of why he did it.
Did he ever have like a log to talk about everything that, like, day 25? I remain alone in the lighthouse.
I really wish
although that the voices follow me from place to place.
I really wish that he did, because I would love to read that. But no, unfortunately, there was nothing, at least nothing significant that I could find. But there was no sort of suicide note or real indication of suicidal tendencies or insanity or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wish that they did. That would have been a lot cooler story. But since then, like I said, that area has been incredibly active. Many of the visitors and a lot of the employees who have gone into the basement area have frequently claimed to see a man in a blue suit who stands in the shadows of the room. And the blue suit was what Rasmussen wore while he was, you know, working.
Of course. Of course he did. But of course he's there.
Like, it's really creepy because you see apparitions and stuff, and it's weird enough, but when you have one that exclusively sticks to like the shadows of the room and shit, I fucking hate that, but I love it. They also smell cigarette smoke, or like cigar smoke, because he smoked a lot while he was working too. One of the other more famous stories is the rumors of the three ghost children, which is where that child laughter comes in.
I'm not okay with this. But go ahead, continue.
Oh, yeah.
Scare the shit out of me. That's fine.
It's not going to be fun. So there is the ghost of three children, Eliza, Mary, and an unnamed third child, who run around the entire property and inside the lighthouse. They're usually harmless spirits, usually just enjoying playing amongst themselves, but they occasionally talk to and look at the visitors, and they'll sometimes be seen, like, running around the property or, you know, laughing, as we talked about.
God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with that.
Oh, yeah. So it's said that these children, Eliza and Mary, are two of the daughters of the foreman that was overseeing the construction, whose name was Hezekiah Pitty. And the unnamed daughter was one of the daughters of the construction workers who was building the lighthouse. Now, this part is actually really sad because she was the daughter of a construction worker, but because she was African American, they did not name her in the official report and they barely even mentioned her. But they focused really heavily on the two Pitty children.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Anyway, these three girls were running around and they were playing. They were also with the two youngest Pitty children. So Eliza and Mary were the two oldest, and then there were two younger children, I think a boy and a girl. I don't remember their names. But those four and then the construction worker's daughter were all running around and playing. And they got into a supply cart that they were playing on, which, obviously, a bad idea. This is not going to go anywhere good. They were playing around on the construction site. They got into that supply cart, and apparently when they all got in, they knocked it out of its, like, secure area, and it started moving. So they're working pretty close to the coastline. This supply cart starts going down this trail. It flips over after hitting a wall, and it drops into the water. So these kids are...
Of course it does.
Of course it does. So these kids are trapped under this cart. Some of them probably got knocked unconscious in that because it's a big fucking cart.
Mm-hmm.
But this led to Eliza, Mary, and the third girl dying. But the two youngest children did survive this. Although I'm sure emotionally they're not doing so hot.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Anyway, so those are the three children that are known to be running around the property. Those are some of the more common spirits that you hear. They're a little bit more rare to see. Most of the apparitions that you see are usually like full-grown adults, some male, some female. But the children you do hear a lot, especially in like the surrounding property, but not so much in the lighthouse. But reports from visitors and the keepers state that they've seen the children running around the lighthouse, playing games, looking through windows at people, and then vanishing. And they also see children's footprints all around the property as well.
Oh, that's so creepy.
It's really weird, man. Now, currently, there is a tour guide named Matt Hladek. He is the tour guide for the St. Augustine's Lighthouse, and he has spoken numerous times on the haunted history of the lighthouse, and has even shared a number of his personal experiences while on tours, because obviously if you're doing it as a job, you're going to be seeing some weird shit.
That's right.
So he's seen things such as furniture moving around when nobody's there, or even when he's with groups. He's seen shadow figures, which are pretty common. You can actually see a lot of the shadow figures in these YouTube videos or in the TV series where people actually go and do like ghost hunting. So the shadow figures are the most common thing that you see. But one of the things that he has seen, which was the main factor for why I wanted to include him in this segment, was that at one point he saw a hand come through the door of the tower towards him. So then you have the tower door and this hand just moved right through it.
I'm not okay with that. So creepy.
It's really weird. That one, I don't know. Like, obviously, yeah, ghosts can move through, you know, doors and walls and shit. But usually it's just like a quick shadow figure or something. But this time, like, you just a hand. Why just a hand? Anyway, aside from that, he also said in an interview, quote, "I've had a few arm hairs plucked off me in the basement of the keeper's house."
I'm not okay with that.
I know. That one's
nope,
weird.
Nope.
"Rather recently, I had my ankle grabbed. That was pretty amusing since it was in the middle of my tour, so it looked like I just randomly tripped over air." So, hand coming through the door, arm hairs being plucked, furniture moving around.
God, my skin is crawling right now. I can tell. My skin is crawling right now.
And then just somebody grabbing your ankle. Oh my goodness, I love that. I love this place, man.
Are there any reasons why this place is so damn haunted?
Well, I mean...
Is it just because it's a lighthouse?
Well, I mean, you've had tragedies that happened. You know, you had the original keeper hanging himself. You had the children that died. But also, this is a place that has been in operation. So just this current lighthouse alone has been up since 1874. Obviously, in that time, you're going to have some deaths. You're going to have some tragedies. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of shit going down there.
It's like a confluence of, like, dark energy. Is this thing built on an Indian burial ground?
I mean, all of America.
Did they sacrifice some witches? I guess. All the United States is built on an Indian burial ground. I get it.
Yeah. But I don't know as far as, like, why it's like this, you know? I just think that I like to think that all lighthouses are at that, like, crossroads of dark energy.
Right. Like, everything's weird. Built at, what is it, the latitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's something about lighthouses. It just invites creepy shit. So, I blame it just on the fact that they built a lighthouse.
Okay. Very super creepy. Not going to any of these places.
You could do tours of the lighthouse, which are really cool, and I would love to do that. But also, that would mean I would have to go to Florida.
You want to go to Florida?
Not really. I don't really want to go to Florida. No. Especially not right now. So another incredibly active area in the lighthouse is the parlor. So in the parlor, coughing is often heard, which people believe to be from the spirit of William Harn. He was also one of the first few lighthouse keepers in that building, and he eventually died in the lighthouse due to his battle with tuberculosis, hence the intense coughing.
Okay, there you go. I was wondering where that was coming from.
Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that's adding into this. I mean, you've had tuberculosis deaths and shit, too. There are plenty of people who have probably just died even of natural causes, but if you just stack a whole bunch of deaths on top of each other in any given location, I'm sure you're going to get some weird juju out there.
True.
There's also this spirit of a man believed to be Joseph Andrew, who was the original lighthouse keeper, and he fell to his death from the top level of the lighthouse. His spirit is often seen walking around on the top level in the observation deck and near the light at night, as well as his wife, who is often seen with her hair down in a long white dress.
That's super creepy.
Now, the reason his wife is there is because in life, she actually took over for her husband after he died. And the cool thing about her is she became the first woman to become a lighthouse keeper in America, and she was the first Hispanic woman to control a federal shore installation, which I think is really cool.
That is cool for her. But then she decided that she would haunt the place.
I mean, she gets to be with her husband, so it's a happy ending there.
I guess so.
Assuming she was happy in life, you know?
Yeah, together in life, together in death.
There you go. All right, so the last thing that I want to talk about is that I've mentioned a little bit while I've been talking. The lighthouse remains in operation today and has openly embraced its haunted history, in addition to the usual history tours that it gives. There's the after-hours haunted tours, which were initially only offered on Halloween, but have now become a year-long event since, you know, every Halloween they would sell out pretty much as, you know, as quickly as they would put the tickets up.
Absolutely.
It's still pretty much going at that rate. I don't know how it's doing right now. But since they made it year-long, it was continuing to sell out. It's really, really popular. And they do their usual history tours during the day, and you get to walk the lighthouse. But the after-hours tours are really cool because they do it all at night. They go through the history as well as the tragedies and the haunted history of it. And they have EMF recorders that they bring on the tour to give to guests to carry with them. They encourage ghost hunters and people who have that kind of equipment to bring their own with them. Basically because as long as people are interested in this and as long as people are trying to find the ghosts, the stories can continue. You know, they have more things to talk about and more new events, and revenue can keep coming in, which is helping this lighthouse to function for the foreseeable future, which is really cool. Something, you know, this historic, in addition to just being a really cool haunted place, it's also fucking cool that this lighthouse has been around since the mid-1800s, with a lot of the, like, original pieces still there, you know? You got the lens that's all original. Most of the actual building is the same. They've, you know, upgraded the materials used and stuff. But they just also keep really good care of it. The lighthouse itself is repainted, I think they said, like, every 4 years or something. But they have a really good staff of, you know, workers and volunteers who do the tours and shit. And it just keeps going. And I think it's really, really cool. I would love to be able to, you know, go on one of those ghost tours and actually get to, like, walk up, you know, the lighthouse and get to the observation deck and shit. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's pretty much it. There's obviously a lot of, you know, little stories that you can tell about this, which I just kind of wanted to hit some of the more common points and not basically just say, and then this man saw a shadow figure, and then this man saw. But these things happen with a lot of frequency. I want to reiterate that this place is not like every now and then you'll see something. You know, most people who go on these sorts of tours capture something. I think it was the BuzzFeed Unsolved one where, I think it was Ryan. Yeah, Ryan was inside the lighthouse alone at night, and he had his EMF recorder, and he was listening, and he could hear through the EMF, like, things talking to him, and he saw, I think he saw something while he was in there, but the creepiest part of that was there was a point when he started hearing things and he got a little worried, so he was starting to leave, and he heard the spirit say something along the lines of, "Why are you leaving?"
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh, shit. Oh, that's fucking cool. And you just see this moment where he, like, stops, and he's like, "Why am I leaving? Because I'm scared as hell. That's why I'm leaving." And then he just keeps going, and it was really funny. But it's a really, really active place, so if you are in Florida near St. Augustine and you are at all interested in, you know, getting some actual proof that you can show to people, I think St. Augustine's lighthouse is going to be one of your best bets. It's something that I would love to do just because I want to have some of that concrete evidence for myself, you know. But that's the lighthouse. Super active, super cool. It's a lighthouse, so it's fucking spooky.
Sounds great.
It sounds really, really cool.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
To get some good photos of this place.
Yeah, luckily there's lots of photos. The problem is, even though it's a lighthouse, it actually looks relatively inconspicuous. It's just a really tall white building with like a black stripe going down it, and then a bright red observation deck. But it's cool. It's a lighthouse. But yeah, you can find pictures pretty easily.
Look at this floof. Isn't he sweet?
Look at the floof.
Look at the floof. Kiss the floof. All right. Great topic, Dylan.
Thank you, Jake.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And we have returned.
And we've returned. Okay, I got another story to tell you. You can put it at the beginning if you want to. So, Monday afternoon, my ex texted me and told me that our daughter, who is 5 years old, had a night terror the night before. That she was asleep in bed, and that she sat up and then stood up and started screaming at the top of her lungs for about a minute.
That's just the worst thing in the world.
I know. Screaming inconsolable, could not be woken up at all, and was just yelling and screaming, and then finally she stopped, and then she got like this really serene face, like just like became completely calm and laid back down and like answered. She asked her what her name was, and she said Stella, and then smiled and went back to sleep. Just like that.
What the fuck?
I don't know what's going on.
That's so weird, dude.
But of course, you know, my first thought is, oh my God, how old was I when I started to experience paranormal things? And is this a generational thing? Is it happening again? Is she sensitive to these sorts of things?
I mean, she might be sensitive just because, I mean, you are. But she's not living in a desecrated church as far as I know. So I think she's got that going for her.
Her house is not haunted as far as I know. So anyway, I took over a crucifix for her. And hopefully that'll act as a talisman, and then I'm going to get my dad to go over there and say a blessing on the house and a blessing on her, try to nip this thing in the bud. Yeah, but it's weird.
That is really weird. That's so creepy, too.
I know. And of course, I mean, like, it's, you know, like we just said, my first thought was, oh, this has got to be a paranormal experience that she's having.
I would think so.
Or it could just be a random-ass night terror. I have no
hopefully
idea.
Hopefully it's just a random thing.
And hopefully it doesn't keep happening.
Yeah, hopefully not. But it's weird nonetheless, and hopefully this goes away and is never an issue again, because that would be terrible.
Or she'll have to be trained in the ways of the Force in order to deal with them.
Can you imagine how cool it would be if your daughter could actually use the Force? If anybody could use the Force.
That would be cool.
I'm still on a little bit of a Star Wars high, because I was thinking about...
Rise of Skywalker is still in your mind?
I was thinking about making my own Star Wars movie, because I want to make a good Star Wars movie.
There's so many good stories to tell.
There are. I think we're not going to get into this.
No, we could go on and on. Let's just save it for the next one.
Yeah. Star Wars is still in my brain. But anyway, that's horrifying. And I hope your daughter's okay.
I hope so.
Hopefully she's not possessed.
Okay. So this one will get released. And then the week after that, another episode of The Cinema Surgeons will be released. Whose turn will it be to tell the good movie? Will it be you or me? I think it'll be me, right? Because I did Phantom Menace the last time.
Was that the last time?
I think it was.
Okay. No.
Yes.
No. Last time, I don't remember what yours was, but last time I did John Henry.
Oh, that was a horrible movie, so I have to do a good movie.
Yeah.
You could do Rogue One. Rogue One is a good Star Wars movie.
I was actually thinking about doing Rogue One, because I was just talking with my store manager about that.
Everything about the Rogue One is good, especially the fact that they solved the Death Star vulnerability paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, that movie's so good. I'm doing Rogue One.
Okay, good, because I want to talk about the Death Star vulnerability paradox.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. But let's get back to what we do talk about on this one.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the twin brothers, Bruce and Brian Reimer, who were born in 1965. You should remember this because we recorded, and I use this as a topic, but the audio was so bad that we never released this episode.
Did we not release this one?
We never released this episode.
Holy shit, then I'm glad you're doing it, because I remember a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm. Bruce and Brian Reimer were born in 1965 in Winnipeg, Ontario. Their parents are named Janet and Ron Reimer. Now, spoiler alert, I will explain why we're talking about them. Bruce Reimer had his penis irreparably damaged during infancy due to a failed circumcision.
Okay. Yes, I remember
that's
that
the
much.
Cut to the chase, too long, didn't read. That's Oof. Where we're going with this, but I'm going to explain exactly what happened. When they were little boys, like under 6 months of age, they were diagnosed with phimosis, which is a condition in which the foreskin of the penis, they were uncircumcised at the time, the foreskin of the penis is too narrow and it doesn't retract, and so it inhibits regular urination. So a year after they were born, they decided that they were going to circumcise the two children. Now, in normal circumcision, they either use a scalpel or scissors in order to remove the foreskin.
This one, they just went at it with a pocket knife.
They would have been better if they'd gone after a pocket knife. The physician that did the circumcision used the unconventional technique of electrocauterization.
What the fuck?
Exactly. And he fucked up Bruce's circumcision.
Gee, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Damaged his penis to the point where he basically didn't have it. It was either totally severed or it was damaged beyond the possibility of function. Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's that's not even the worst part.
Oh, I okay? know. It gets so much worse.
But so Bruce was damaged like this through this botched surgery. They didn't do anything about Brian, and his condition cleared up without any need for surgical intervention. So if they had just left him alone, he would have been fine.
Jesus Christ.
But instead, they destroyed his penis. So they're born in 65. In 1967, Reimer's parents sought the help of a doctor from Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland. The guy's name was John Money. He was a psychologist and a sexologist. And in the mid-20th century, in this time period, Money had helped to establish the views on the psychology of gender identities and roles. In his academic work, Money argued in favor of the increasingly mainstream idea that gender was a societal construct and it was malleable from an early age.
Hashtag gender is a construct.
Yes, hashtag gender is a construct. He stated that being raised as a female was in Reimer's best interest, and he recommended sexual reassignment surgery, which was something that was very common at the time when you had infants who were born with abnormal or intersex genitalia. Mm-hmm. It was just decide on one and then fix it surgically and then raise them as either a male or a female. So after the encouragement from Money, the doctor, Reimer's parents decided that they would raise him as a girl. He underwent surgery as an infant to construct rudimentary female genitals, and was given female hormones during puberty. They changed his name to Brenda, right? Now, during childhood, Reimer was never told he was biologically male, and he regularly visited Dr. Money, who tracked the progress of his gender reassignment. Reimer unknowingly acted as an experimental subject in Money's controversial investigation, which he called the John Joan case. So, the reason that Dr. Money was so intrigued by this is because you had Bruce, who had undergone this reassignment, but you also had his brother, Brian, who was basically the control in the experiment, because he was born male. He had the sex organs of a male. And so you could gauge the differences and study the differences in the two of them. Let's see. The case provided results that were used to justify thousands of sex reassignment surgeries for cases of children with reproductive abnormalities. Following his gender reassignment surgery, Reimer was given the first name Brenda, and his parents raised him as a girl. He received estrogen during adolescence to promote the development of breasts, but throughout his childhood, Reimer was never informed. He received annual checkups for money, and his twin brother was also part of Money's research on sexual development and gender in children. As identical twins growing up in the same family, the Reimer brothers, or the Reimer brother and sister, were what Money considered ideal case subjects for a psychological study on gender. Reimer was the first documented case of sex reassignment of a child born developmentally normal, while Reimer's brother was a control subject who shared Reimer's genetic makeup, intrauterine space, and household. During the twins' psychiatric visits with Money, and as part of his research, and this is where it really gets fucked up.
Oh no.
Reimer and his twin brother were directed to inspect one another's genitals and engage in behavior resembling sexual intercourse.
Oh no.
Reimer claimed that much of Money's treatment involved the forced reenactment of sexual positions and motions with his brother. In some exercises, the brothers rehearsed missionary positions with thrusting motions, which Money justified as the rehearsal of healthy childhood sexual exploration.
I don't think I would classify any aspect of that as healthy.
Absolutely not.
Or normal.
Reimer was interviewed by Rolling Stone and recalled that at least once Money photographed these exercises. Money also made the brothers inspect one another's pubic areas. Reimer stated that Money observed these exercises both alone and with as many as six colleagues in the room.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Reimer recounted anger and verbal abuse from Money if he or his brothers resisted orders, in contrast to the calm and scientific demeanor Money presented to their parents. He was actually very abusive to them. Reimer and his brother underwent Money's treatments at preschool and grade school age. Money described Reimer's transition as successful and claimed that Reimer's girlish behavior stood in stark contrast to his brother's boyishness. Money reported on Reimer's case as the John Jones case and left out Reimer's real name, but for over a decade, Reimer and his brother unknowingly provided data that, according to biographers and the Intersex Society of North America, were used to reinforce Money's theories on gender fluidity and provide justification for thousands of sex reassignment surgeries for children with abnormal genitals.
Had this person not been a piece of shit and not lied about the research, I feel like the general idea of what he was trying to prove is great if it's something that is successful. But, like, you can't be the kind of person that he is.
It's just disgusting that he was able to do this, and he was able to perpetuate this crime over so many years. Where are the parents?
Right? How do the parents not know?
I mean, I understand that he's a doctor and he takes a Hippocratic oath and you're supposed to trust these guys and they know what they're doing, but I have children, and no one is going to be in the room with one of my children without me knowing who the fuck that person is, or me in the room, or their mom in the room. Exactly. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care what's happening. It's just insane.
Because you can't open yourself and your children up to this exact kind of abuse of power.
It's just horrible. Okay, so contrary to Money's notes, Reimer reports that as a child he experienced severe gender dysphoria, which of course is a condition in which someone experiences distress as a result of their assigned gender. Reimer reported that he did not identify as a girl and resented Money's visits for treatment. At the age of 13, Reimer threatened to commit suicide if his parents took him to Money on the next annual visit. He was bullied by peers in school. Peers in school for his masculine traits, and Reimer claimed that despite receiving female hormones, wearing dresses, and having his interests directed toward typical female norms, he always felt that he was a boy.
And real quick, I just want to say that is why we've been saying the brothers and referring to him as him, because I just knew, like, in the beginning, I could see somebody being very upset at us referring to somebody who was female as male.
Exactly.
But we're only doing that because
we know the end of the story.
Exactly. We know, and this is female is not what, I already forgot the fucking name.
Brenda and Brian?
Yeah.
This was Brian when he was born, and they changed his name to Brenda.
Yeah, so this is not what, Brenda is not who Brian, Brenda is not who Bruce was. Exactly. So I just want to clear that up. Like, we're not misgendering somebody.
Right.
Fucking scientist man is misgendering and being a fucking bastard.
Right.
So, I just want to get that out there. We're supportive of everyone. We love you.
We love all of you. We really do. We have friends like this, and we have people that we love, and we understand that it's a difficult... I try to say I understand that it's a difficult thing to feel this way, but I really can't because, you know, I've not had this obstacle in my own life.
Exactly, yeah.
I've never had that feeling, but at the same time, you know, it's just like, how can you not be compassionate towards somebody, you know, like that?
Exactly, yes.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, this is why I have such a problem with evangelical Christianity, because, fair. You know, I mean, God, there's so much of that bullshit in that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, back to the story. So in 1980, at the age of 15, Reimer's father told him the truth about his birth and his subsequent procedures. Following that revelation, Reimer assumed a male identity and took the first name of David. He suffered severe depression throughout his life, which culminated in his suicide at 38 years old.
Ah, fuck, I forgot about that.
And I'll tell more about this. Reimer, in his public statements about the trauma of his transition, brought attention to gender identity and called into question the sex reassignment of infants and children. By age 21, Reimer had received testosterone therapy and surgeries to remove his breasts and reconstruct a penis. He ended up marrying a single mother who had three children in 1990. In adulthood, David Reimer reported that he suffered psychological trauma due to Money's experiments, which Money had used to justify all of these, you know, surgeries and all of this research.
It's not very cash money of him.
No, it's not. In the mid-90s, Reimer met Milton Diamond, a psychologist at the University of Hawaii in Honolulu. In the mid-90s, Reimer met Milton Diamond, a psychologist at the University of Hawaii, and an academic rival of Money. Reimer participated in a follow-up study conducted by Diamond, in which Diamond cataloged the failures of Reimer's transition.
Hold on. We have a scientist named Money, and we have a scientist named Diamond.
I can't make this shit up. Damn, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's like a West Coast rapper group or some shit. Young Money, Cash Money. It's horrible. We're just trying to throw in some dark humor, because this is a dark fucking subject.
Yeah, you gotta have some levity. Otherwise, we just go crazy.
Right. So in 1997, David Reimer began speaking publicly about his experiences, beginning with his participation in Diamond's study, and did a public interview in 97 in an issue of Rolling Stone. In interviews and a later book about his experience, Reimer described his interactions with Money as torturous and abusive. Accordingly, Reimer claimed that he developed a lifelong distrust of hospitals and medical professionals, which is rightly so. With these reports, Reimer caused a multifaceted controversy over Money's methods, honesty in data reporting, and the general ethics of sex reassignment surgeries on infants and children. Reimer's description of his childhood conflicted with the scientific consensus about sex reassignment at the time, and according to Nova, Money led scientists to believe that the John Joan case demonstrated an unreservedly successful sex transition. So at least all of this stuff became debunked.
Yeah.
And he was discredited. Reimer's parents later blamed Money's methods and alleged surreptitiousness for the psychological illnesses of their sons. But if you ask me, they're just as to blame. They're just as complicit in this. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't trust anybody with your children like that.
No. I mean, especially if, like, I mean, you said that in later life it got to the point where, you know, he threatened to kill himself if he had to go back. Like, you should pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just brush that shit off.
Because he did that when he was 13 years old, and then his dad didn't tell him the truth until he was 15.
Exactly, yeah. You would have... I don't know. It makes me really mad that a person in power like this will do that kind of shit, you know? But it's just... It's frustrating that the parents didn't seem to pay attention as much as they should have, and that the fucking Dr. Money would be such a piece of shit.
I mean, I understand that this was back in the 60s, and people weren't as educated, and it wasn't as easy to get information and get support as it is now, you know? I mean, with the 21st century being the way that it is, you can jump onto your computer or even go to the fucking library, and you can research all of these things for yourself if you want to, and you can read scientific studies and all these other things, and it's, and there are support groups and there are support numbers that you can call, and you know, there are people in the media who talk about support and all this other stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, we're miles away from where we need to be, but at least we've got something better than they did back in the 60s. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It upsets me, this entire thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Some of the supporters of Dr. Money and his research tried to say that David Reimer had incorrectly recalled the details of his treatment. And Money himself publicly dismissed his criticism as anti-feminist and anti-trans bias. But according to his colleagues, he was personally ashamed of his failure, as he should be.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's such a sad story. So I already told you how he died, but in his early 20s, Reimer had attempted to commit suicide twice, and his family life was strained by marital problems and employment difficulties his entire life. Reimer's brother, Brian, who never had the surgery, suffered from depression and schizophrenia and died from an antidepressant drug overdose in 2002.
Oh, Jesus.
So everyone was destroyed by this. And in 2004, David Reimer's wife told him that she wanted a divorce. And 2 days later, after that, he committed suicide.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
So it's just sad all the way around.
Yeah, there's no good part about this.
No, there's none.
There's no upside other than Money got found out to be a fraud.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, the first time we talked about it, we wanted to make sure we talked about it, and we kind of did it with a little bit of with more levity, but it's a serious story, and it is a crime. And the guy was never the worst part for me is that this Dr. Money doesn't seem to have ever been prosecuted in any way at all. I mean, he was discredited some, and obviously this horrible controversial study has probably been thrown out or used as a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
But as far as being able to be sued or, you know, anything like that, it doesn't seem like anything happened to him.
Yeah, because, I mean, because of this man, a family lost both children, both of which had to go through hell with him, but one of which had to just go through unimaginable torture and torment because of, you know, this botched surgery and then all the dysmorphia that came with it and everything. Like, fuck that guy.
He's an asshole.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. It's just so sad all around. We wanted to tell the story, and we wanted to tell it with the right amount of respect and the right amount of sadness that's brought into it. And also, we wanted to make sure that we used the gender appropriate pronouns throughout the entire thing, because we wanted everybody who does listen to our podcast to realize. Or to feel like we did it with a level of respect and with a level of reverence that it needed to be.
Exactly.
It's just so sad when you see something like this. You know, it's a botched surgery, and then the parents are put into a particular situation where they feel like they have to make some sort of decision, and then that decision is based on biased information, and then for the rest of their lives, these children are scarred because you have this idea that they're supposed to, you know, follow some sort of gender norm when it's not up to them, you know. Even if it hadn't been for the fact that it was a botched surgery, I mean, gender norms are something that you shouldn't push on somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Especially not, you know, I mean, never, but especially not now, you know, you're able to see a lot more of people leaning towards a progressive mentality. But this is the perfect case of how to do everything wrong with that, you know? It's just, I don't know. This case, it makes me mad. I'm glad that you brought it again. Like I said, I didn't realize that we didn't post that episode. I forgot that that was that one. So I'm glad that we're bringing it right now. And yeah, like Jake said, we wanted to show that obviously this is a podcast where we talk about shitty things that happen, but we try to keep a little bit of levity to it. But at the core, these are still really serious things. And something like this it's touchy. A little bit, but I mean, we just wanted to be respectful and show how much of a bastard some people can be. Mm-hmm.
This is the true evil that's in the world. You know, we say it all the time, but, you know, I'll say it again. You know, the number of people that are going to experience a haunting or an alien abduction are probably pretty low, but, you know, horrible evil like this in the world happens all the time, and we don't, you know, there are there are people who never know about it.
Exactly. And if you're getting attacked by a ghost, all you have to do is sell your house and move or leave the spooky place. Mm-hmm. You know, shit like this, you can't just leave, you know?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff you're just trapped in. But anyway, so that's the story about David Reimer and his sad life. It's horrible. It really is.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. But like I said, I am glad that you brought this one. It's a very important topic, and I think it's a fascinating story, at very least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you did good. I think we had a really good episode this time around.
I hope so.
I do too. And I hope that you at home think that this was a good episode, and I hope that you think that all of our episodes are good episodes. And now I sound like I'm ending a PBS.
You're doing series. It again. You're doing
I'm
it
not
again.
Trying to.
It's all right. It's
I'm
all right.
Really not. This is just where I go.
It's a good voice. I just hate that I don't have a good... It's jealousy on my part, because I wish I had a good radio voice like you do, and I don't, obviously.
You've got a soothing voice, like a calm ASMR voice, or a jazz musician. Or not musician, but like a jazz radio DJ. Whereas I'm like, 99.5 KISS!
It's 10:35, and you're listening to Right On Radio on K3ZE Jazz All Night.
Welcome to the Hammer! Oh,
God.
Playing your favorite rock hits from every generation. This is 1724 K3, the Hammer!
Hail Satan!
There you go. You gotta channel that, Jake.
I'm not gonna channel
it. Bring it to the table,
son. I'm
not
gonna channel my Hail Satan.
Channel it.
I'm too
channel
old for that. It. If I use that voice too much, then I'm gonna throw my back out because I'm so old.
I'm gonna slip a disc.
Brush your teeth.
Go to bed at a respectable hour.
That's right. If you want an Xbox 360 update to your Call of Duty, you need to clean your room. Which is an actual conversation I just had with my son.
Oh my God.
Not even 12 hours ago. But I didn't use my Hail Satan voice.
No, next time your kid does something wrong.
I probably need to.
Do it.
I'll use the Hail Satan voice on him. Let's see if it works.
If your daughter has another night terror, just no more night terror.
Oh, poor baby. I hope she's okay, my Stella Bella. We'll find out.
Yeah, no, I hope she's okay, too.
I hope so, too. Don't circumcise your children. Jesus fucking Christ, man. That's so archaic.
Yeah.
It really is unnecessary. All right, that's enough about that.
Okay, cool. So, we're starting this off with our $100 Patreon tier is... you get to find out my road name. Our $200 Patreon tier is you get to talk with us about circumcisions.
Yes, and all my strong views on it. Because I can go on and on if you really, really wanted to hear. No one really wants to hear that.
I don't think anybody does.
Nobody needs to know.
This is not what we get paid 10 cents for.
That's right. All right. Well, I think that's about it for us.
Yeah, I think so too. Actually, real quick, before you do the outro.
Go ahead.
Get some more like oomph to the outro. Some more like
some power. Hail Satan.
Exactly.
Or give like, me some Hail Satan. I don't know, just not too quiet, like, not too KZE3 Jazz Radio.
But you have a tendency to
right
be
on
like,
radio.
And we hope we have left you too scared to sleep, and then it's done. But you can be like, we hope that we have left you too scared to sleep. Or something. I don't know. Just give it some
right.
Power, some personality.
I'll do it. I'll do it for Alex.
Do it for Alex. Do it for us. For the band.
That's right.
For the band.
All right, let's do it.
For the band.
All right, let's do it.
Do it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Dylan, do you have anything else to add?
I am good to go.
All right. Well, if that's it, that's Dylan across from me, and my name is Jake, and we hope we've left you too scared to sleep. Better?
Good? Say it a little bit slower.
All right.
Go really quick.
I know I do. All right. Well, from Dylan, my co-host, my name is Jake, and we hope we have left you too scared to sleep. No?
Once more with feeling.
Once more with feeling. Shut up. And we hope we've left you too scared to sleep.
That'll work. Well, I'm sure just because it's a lighthouse is also, you know, a big factor. But I mean, when you look at...
Oh, my God. Really?
Thank you.
Really, Boomer?
Thanks for that hot take.
And now he's ASMRing the microphone. He got right up in there and said, meow. We gotta save that.
Oh, yeah.
That should be our new beep cut.
Just a meow.
Just a meow. Oh, Boomy Boomer. What's wrong, buddy? What's wrong, Floofy Floof? Oh, look at him. Oh, my God. Jesus, I have a giant cat. Get yes, off. Go. Go lay on bed or something. Go lay on the bed. Stop biting the laptop, weirdo. Do you see this?
Yeah.
Do cats act like this all the time?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've had a cat. He got right up in that microphone and said meow. That's really cool. Can't even rehearse that. Look at him. Look at him.
He's so big. He's just a grande boy.
He weighs 20 pounds.
Holy shit.
And he's like 21 inches long from his face to his ass, not even counting his tail, which is another foot and a half.
Oh my God.
He's such a big fucking cat.
Damn, son.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. I had to buy new food for him so that he wouldn't get so fucking heavy. I really did. I had to change up his diet.
Aw, skinny queen.
He was being a hefty boy.
Hefty boy.
I'm sorry.
As well as the first Hispanic woman to control a federal shore installation.
Well, there you go. Stop it! Get off! Little go!
Bastard!
It's enough. Why are you chewing on this? Can't chew on the microphone stand. We're recording right now.
I can't keep working in this environment!
Be more professional.
What do we pay you for?
You can get pets. But you gotta not chew on things. All right, go ahead.
Okay.